Hallelujah. Well, good day to you all. Hey, my name is Paula Harshbarger, and I am filling in for Pastor Fred today. So pleased to meet you. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and get started right away. We don't have time to waste. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Lord, you are good to your children. All rise, the king is coming. All right. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, set down on the right hand of God. You may be seated also. All right. Anyways, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you want to tell your people? Because I don't know what to tell your people, and I don't want to go up there and just say anything. I want to know what you have to say to your people. So he told me to tell you that he loved you, and he also told me to tell you that goodness and mercy is following after you. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? Goodness and mercy is following after you. So I looked up the word follow because I thought, man, what's it mean to follow after you? So I thought, well, maybe just following after you. But listen to what follow means. It's in the Hebrew. It means to run after with hostile intent. This thing is chasing after you. To pursue after with intentions of overtaking you. It wants to overtake you. Goodness and mercy want to overtake you. So me, I like to use my imagination. So here I am. I'm like, here's it's following me. Oh, gotcha. You know, here, it's chasing after you, it's mad after you, it's hostile, it wants to take me down. Goodness and mercy. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? Goodness and mercy. All right, so how many of you know Passover's coming up? Well, good for you. Good. Good. I didn't know. The reason how I found out is I was spending time with the Lord, and I had came home one evening, and I did like a few minutes to myself, and I thought, I'm going to grab my guitar real quick, and I'm going to play some music, and I like to sing the scriptures, so I asked the Lord, where do you want me to sing to you at, and he said, John chapter 12, so I looked up John chapter 12, and the first line of the scripture says, 6 days before Passover, so I was like, 6 days before Passover, so I kept singing the 6 days before Passover, and it talked about how Jesus came over to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they were going to have dinner. But I just kept repeating the chorus. It was like 6 days before Passover. But the song ended because it kind of dwindled out and it died. And then the Lord spoke to me, said, go look at the calendar. Passover's coming. I said, really? I thought it was already because Jesus, you know, already we celebrated Easter and everything. Well, I went and looked, and it's April the 19th. Do you know what today is? 6 days before Passover. Isn't that too cool? I said, Lord, you're an awesome God. So this is 6 days before Passover. So what was Jesus doing 6 days before Passover? Well, guess what? We're going to find out right now. I'm going to tell you what was going on. He was, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all kind of run along the same line. So if you would, you know, maybe look up, you know, the story I'm about to tell you about Martha and Mary and Jesus, you could read it also in the same, about the same get together over in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, whatever. Okay, so anyways, I'm reading from John 12, and it talks about how they're having this dinner for Jesus, and they're going to have, it's going to be Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And if I looked over, and I think it was either Luke or Mark, and it said that they were actually at Simon the leper's house, and they're going to have this party for Jesus, this little dinner for Jesus. And if you looked, I looked down into my study, where you got like a study Bible in the bottom, you can read down there, and it said they were honoring Jesus because of healing, because he like healed Simon of leprosy, and he raised Jesus Lazarus back from the dead. So they're having like this little get together party. They're over at Simon's house, bunch of people there. I read some scripture. Judas was there, you know, the Sadducees were there, Pharisees were there, whatever. There's a bunch of people in this room. Well, anyways, here comes Mary, out with a bottle of expensive oil, and it was a fragrant oil, and she brings it out, and she brings it over, and this oil she has is very expensive. It costs a year's wages. Could you imagine paying a year's wages for a bottle of oil? It's scented oil, smells very beautiful. She brings it out, and she pours it on Jesus' feet. This is what's going on 6 days before Passover. Pours it on Jesus' feet, and when she does, the aroma of the oil fills the air. The atmosphere is changed because of what she's done. Then she gets down, and she wipes the oil on his feet with her hair. And only a slave would do that. Someone who is a slave, they would wash the feet of their master. So what Mary was actually saying is, I'm devoted to you. I'm fully devoted to you. And it was beautiful, isn't it? Here she come, bringing oil, filling the room. Everyone in the room smelled it. Everyone, because it said it filled the room. Everyone smelled the oil. Her devotion to the Lord filled the room. Everyone knew. And if you look over in your Bibles, you can see here in Mark 14, it says, wherever the gospel was preached, this also, the story that we're telling right now is going to be preached also in a memorial of her, of what she did. And here we are talking about it on this 6 days before Passover. So that's pretty awesome. But, you know, right now I just want to pray. So we're going to pray, and then we'll continue on. All right? So let's go ahead and pray. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Father, we just come humbly before your throne, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for your presence in here. And, Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus that our devotion to you will be like a sweet-smelling aroma, Lord, that when we walk in a room, Father, that people will just go, ah, oh, they stink like Jesus, you know. Lord, we want to be those kind of people. Father, wherever we go, we want people to talk about our devotion and love for the Lord. Put that in us, Lord. Change our hearts, Holy Spirit. Conform our minds to the image of Jesus. And Father, I ask right now that legions of angels would just come into this room ministering to us. We ask for your very presence, Lord. And we're thanking you for it. And we're going to give you the glory and the praise. I pray our hearts never remain the same after walking out of here, Lord. And I pray that you would empty me out, Father, and use me as your vessel and fill me full of the Holy Spirit. Only speak in your words and not letting me get in the way. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All righty. So I want to talk to you about is Passover, all right? So I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, please. Thank you. Exodus we go, to Exodus we go. Hi-ho the Mario, to Exodus we go. Here we go. All right, we all there? Here we go. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let's deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they are fallen out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's treasured cities of Pithom and Ramses. I'm for sure pronunciation. Anyways, I'm going to go over the history of this because when I was growing up, I didn't know any of the stories either. I didn't know what Passover was. I never went to church. There's a lot of us in here that's unchurched people. And it's all right because we got to learn sometime. So actually how I end up learning the Bible stories is at night I would read stories to my girls before we would go to bed. And it was a little kid's book. It was real small. You got the gist of it, and then that's how you learned all the stories. So if you don't know the stories, I encourage you to get a kid's Bible. Just read it's real small, but it gives you the gist of the story. So, okay, so anyways, I wanted to give you the little history of this. Here we are. Everyone knew Joseph, that God's hand was upon Joseph. But then this new Pharaoh came. He's the new king. We're going to call him the new king. He came to Egypt. Well, anyways, when he was there, he didn't know a darn thing about Joseph and about God's people. He could care less. All he saw was that the Israelites were a big, mighty group of people. And he was a little afraid of them. He said, in the scripture you read there, he said, man, if they get upset with us, we're going to go join up with someone else, and they'll overtake us. We got to do something about it. So they got together. And the Pharaoh, the king said, we're going to put taskmasters over them. We're going to make them slaves. We'll have them do our work. So that's what they did. Well, when they did it, what happened to the Israelites? They grew even mightier and stronger, and they multiplied. They grew bigger in number. Well, this made the king even more like, oh no, what are we going to do? So he ended up making it even harder on them. And when you're in Egypt, the firstborn was like the prize possession. Your firstborn child was like a prize possession. All right. So anyways, they were really hard on Israelites' firstborn children. So that's kind of what some of was going on there. Okay, so then if you go down in Exodus 2, verse 23, you'll see that the children, they were crying out to God and saying, Lord, help us. We need release from this bondage. We need out of here, Lord. Help us. And they were crying out to the Lord. And in that scripture, you'll see that he answered them. And I love the little video clip that John showed up here last week, because the guy up there was talking and he said, when God's got a plan, the devil can't stop it. I love that. I mean, that was very encouraging to me. So that's exactly what was going on here. God had a plan, and no one was going to stop it. The devil wasn't going to stop it. The king of Egypt was not going to stop this plan. So anyways, God had a plan, and he said, you know what? What about Moses? We got Moses. Well, Moses was born an Israelite, and when the king took over Egypt, he was trying to kill the firstborn, so he wanted to kill all the firstborn babies. So he went to Goshen, where these Israelites were, and was killing all the babies, the firstborn babies. Well, anyways, Moses' mother put him in a basket and sent him down the river. Well, the baby went down the river, and it floated up to the king's house. Okay? So now the baby's at the king's house. And who's out there was King Pharaoh's daughter. So King Pharaoh's daughter gets the baby out of the basket, and she raises him for her own. So now Moses' mom is, actually Moses was related to the Pharaoh, so he'd be like, the king was his uncle. Or no, the king would be his grandpa. The king was his grandpa. So anyways, God was raising up Moses. And Moses would go out to the place and see his fellow men, the Israelites, being afflicted, and he didn't like it. So he ended up taking and coming back, and he's like, he knew it wasn't right in his heart. So anyways, so he came back. Holy Spirit, will you help me? I just like went, phew, come back here. Okay. So anyways, he got these, came back, and he said, you know, this ain't right. And God had a calling on Moses' heart. And God called Moses, and he told Moses, he said, I want you to go to the Pharaoh, the king Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him, let my people go. So anyways, he goes to him, and he doesn't listen. And he does this 9 times. And each time there was a plague. And the plagues were like lice, like a big bunch of lice would come, and everybody had lice all over them, ugh, you know. And Moses would go, and he would say, you know, God said, let my people go. And the Pharaoh would say, get rid of this lice first, you know. So he goes, now let your people go. Well, then he wouldn't let when the lice was gone, he'd come back, and after the lice was gone, Moses would go tell, you know, let my people go. And so anyways, after he did that, he come back and he would say, you know, I'm not going to let your people go. I can't. Forget it. Did this 9 times. Finally, we come to the 10th time, the 10th plague, and the 10th plague was death, right? So we get to this death plague, and this plague was to kill all the firstborn and all the land, including livestock. So he's going to kill the livestock even. So God was like, and if you read in Exodus 4:22, God called Israel his firstborn son. So if the firstborn were going to die, that means Israel would have to die also. But God said no. And this is where we come to Passover. This is where it all begins. Because God is a loving father, and he doesn't want his children to perish. So we come to Passover. And the focus on Passover is about the lamb. Yeah, during Passover, the children, they get out of bondage and they flee. But it's all about the lamb, Passover is. So what they would have to do, God told them, if I will pass over you and no harm will come to you, if you go take a lamb and you sacrifice it. It has to be a lamb that has no blemishes on it. It has to be a good lamb. It can't have no blemishes on it. I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to take the blood, and I want you to take it and put it over the doorpost of your homes. And he said, and I will come. And when I come, the death angel comes to take away the firstborn. When I see the blood, I'll pass over your house. So that's what they did. They took the blood, they smeared it on their doorpost, and then they passed over. When God came, he saw the blood, and he passed over. And he had no harm come to them. That's in Exodus 12:13, if you want to read on that. The real picture here is Jesus is the Passover lamb. That's why he was, Mary put the oil on his feet. See, really, she didn't know it, but she was preparing him for what was ahead, what was to come. It was like getting ready for burial, putting that beautiful oil on him. She didn't know it, though. But anyway, Jesus is their lamb. Jesus died for us so that we could be saved. And the blood is on us. So when God comes and judgment comes, and we, if we're believers and we accept Jesus in our heart, death passes over us. In scriptures, in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We all deserve death. But if you read on in that scripture, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We deserve death. They deserve death because, see, the firstborn, they were firstborn. But with the blood of the Lamb, they got passed over. The same with us. We get the blood of the Lamb on us, and God passes over us. Isn't that awesome? We deserve death. And that's so weird. You're supposed to get death. Let me give you a present instead. Isn't that sweet? It's unreal. I mean, it's just like, wow. I really deserve death, but you're going to give me a present. Are you going to accept that gift? Are we going to accept the present, or are you going to take the death? I'm taking the gift. Taking the present. And Jesus is our Passover lamb, because if you read in John 1:29, here comes, you know, John the Baptist, he's over there baptized, and he goes, behold, the Lamb of God that comes, takes away the sins of the world. Here he come. He was coming. He was there. And he died for us. Right? I love this. It wasn't the life of the Lamb that saved them. It was the death of the Lamb. Isn't that beautiful? It wasn't the life of Jesus that saved us, it was his death. That's really neat. It's really beautiful. And it's not enough to know that he died on the cross, because when he died and the blood was shed for us on that cross, in the blood there was so much more. Yes, there was forgiveness of sins, and now we can go to heaven. That's major. But there are so many more things in the blood that we don't even know. Some of us might know some of them, but do we truly know them all? I mean, I'm missing out on some of them. There's a lot of benefits in the blood of Jesus. So I wrote down a few things I did know. I know, like, when the blood was shed, we were forgiven. When the blood was shed, we were healed. Because if you read in the scripture, it says, by his stripes we are healed. It doesn't say you will be healed, or you're going to be healed, or you were healed once, but now I'm sorry, you're out. We are healed. We're healed right now. The healing is here. We have to claim it. We have to take it in. We have to claim it. It's ours. That's like when some sickness comes, and I'm over here going, you know, it's like, I don't care what it sounds like. I'm not trusting that. I'm going to know that I know that the blood is on me, the healing's here, and I'm going to claim it. Because he's already done the work on the cross. He's already done it. The blood was shed for me. I don't have to accept that. And I don't have to trust in the visible. I got to trust in the invisible, the unseen. I'm going to look on the things that I can't see and things that I know that are true, that the Lord already told me. We have righteousness because of the Lord. Now we can be made right with the Lord because of the blood. See, we weren't, for like, the Bible says we're like dirty, filthy rags. You know what rags are, people, don't you? Like menstruating rags, looky, ugh. But see, Jesus came, and now we're made righteous. Our own righteousness is like filthy rags. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. And all you got to do is trust him and believe him. It's that easy. You just got to believe. Believe in him. And he doesn't want anything for you. He doesn't want you to give him anything for it either. You know what he wants from you? All he wants is you to love him. Love him. It's that simple. All you got to do is love him. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants you to love him. That's all he wants. And we, because I don't know why we think that we have to pay for it or we have to give something for it. When it's so simple, he wants to freely give it to us. And in return, we just love him. And we get a share in his life. Right now, we can be his hands and feet here on this earth because of what he done. And we can go out and, you know, maybe the Lord wants to help us, you know, give us the strength or the spirit to heal someone. We can go over and heal somebody, or maybe miracles will come because I can share in his life now. It wasn't just for Jesus while he was here. It's for us. We can partake in all of that. He's an awesome God. Look at all these things that we got in the blood. We have got many things that we don't even acknowledge. Now we have abundance. We don't have to live in poverty. He supplies every single need. We have a lot of I wants. But he knows if we had all of our I wants, where it would take us. So he doesn't give us those things. He gives us the things we need. Because he don't want to give me some kind of fancy sports car or something. Maybe I'll go, oh, I love this car. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Oh, hi, Jesus. I love this car. You know, because I have idolatry. I'll be like, oh, I love this car. You know. He doesn't want me to be like that, so he knows that would harm me and not do me good. So he gives me the things I need. He wants us to share his glory, all right? So the glory, I love, when Pastor Fred broke down the word glory, it was our original intent. So what we're originally designed for, I can share in that now. I can be a part of that. He's called me to have a special part here in this lifetime of mine to do something. And each one of you have a special call in your lives to share in his glory. And it's not just for your own personal thing, it's for the body. We can come together as a body, and it's a beautiful thing. We can all be sharing in his glory. You know, Russell Road is going to go out, and we're going to reach the people in Sydney. That's his glory. We're going to share in it. Because if Jesus was here, he'd be doing the same thing. And he is here. And each and every one of us, he's awesome. And we can enjoy his acceptance. Some people don't like us. Oh, well, Lord, I'm so glad you still love me. You know, Lord, I feel so alone. Well, you're never going to leave me. You're right here with me because you accept me. You want me. And we all are new men. Every one of us are new. Now, you think about how you used to be. I said, man, I was looking back on how I used to be. I was like, P.U. I can't believe I did that stuff, you know. It's like, who was that? Well, I know who that was. That was my old man. So now I'm new. And I'm continuing to be renewed all the time. We're being new and we're getting younger in the Lord. It's an awesome thing. And there are so many promises that we have that we don't even claim. For, you know, just for instance, you know, say you're having a bad day at work or whatever, or school or wherever you're at, you know, you're home taking care of your kids, and the kids seem like they're pushing your buttons or, you know, doing certain things, or, you know, things are not going your way. You could entertain it by going, you know, the devil comes over and goes, look at them kids, they're over there and that stuff again, and they're wiping it all over the walls, and, you know, or look at that guy at work, you know, he's over there, he's doing that again, he's talking, he's gossiping and all that stuff, you know, like all that stuff over there. Anyways, you could go, yeah, he is doing that. Oh, man, he really gets under my skin. Carrying on, you know, you could carry on, and next thing you have yourself in a frenzy, because exactly what the devil wants, he wants to take ground in your life. And you allow him to do it when you start doing that, when you start getting in all those little things. So we got to stop it. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to apply the blood onto our lives. And how you're going to do that is with the word. okay, what did the Lord tell you earlier? He said, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of my life. It changes everything. It changes everything. I'm going to apply the word, apply it, the blood of the Lord over me. Oh. So I'm in, I'll tell you earlier, I was in the bathroom. And I was like, this is Saturday night, I was in the bathroom. Oh, Lord, I got to go out there. Help me. I'm in the bathroom. And it's like, wait a minute. Goodness and mercy are in here with me. It changed the atmosphere. It was different. Because, see, I stopped looking at my surroundings and what was going to happen. I was like, oh, my. And I started saying, hey, it's all good. God's hands on me. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. He's tracking me down. Only good things can happen to me. Because he's watching me. His eye is on me. Only good things are happening. So we need to speak this word over our lives. We need to trust in his word. We need to apply the blood in our lives. Which takes me to my next thing. You turn to James 1:22. I want you to read this. I beat you. I cheated. The word says here, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. Do you hear that? Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers, only deceiving yourself. We can be deceived. We could deceive ourselves. Last week I was sitting up here and I had a vision. And I had a vision and I was sitting here and I turned around and I looked at all of you guys sitting there and I said, oh my gosh, we're at school. We're at school. And I saw you guys all sitting here. Some of you were taking notes. The Lord was there. Pastor Fred was right here. And what was happening was the Lord was giving Pastor Fred what he needed and it was coming out to all you guys. Pastor's like the vessel, and it was coming out and it was going, whew. And you guys are sitting there taking notes, listening, you know. And I thought, we are at school. This is too cool. We come in and we go to school on Wednesday, some of us, because we need a little extra. And then we come in on Saturday and Sunday, and we sit in here and we learn. Because the Lord is trying to prepare his army right now. And he wants us to grow up, and he wants us to mature. So anyways, we're sitting in here, and we come in here every week on the Wednesday or the Saturday or the Sunday. Some of us are here for all three services, and we sit underneath this word, and then we go out Monday. Well, what happens when you're at school? You get the material, and then what comes up during the week? A test. People, we need to not be only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. This is your test. You go out and you got to be in the test. The Lord, I really feel like this is what the Lord is saying to us, is we need to be doers of the word. I'm guilty just the same. I let things get to me and I don't apply the blood to my life. I know what his word says. I know what it says. But sometimes it's like, I don't feel like it. Well, that's really stupid on my part because I don't feel like it and I don't do it, it's just going to get worse. But the Lord is really, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to, when we come in here, we hear the word, we need to apply it to our lives. Put the blood on. So when we go out into the streets, we're going to come in to test. You go out to your jobs or wherever you're going this week, you're going to have a test. And believe me, you're going to get one this week. I just said, be not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. It's going to come. It's coming. And all he wants from you is just, he wants you to mature. Because he wants you to grow up so you can help others. See, if we stay the same, we're not going to help anyone. We need to grow up. And the word says many things. It just doesn't say, like, if you're having a bad day, put the blood on. The word says, be my hands and feet. Go out into the streets and serve. That's his word, too. Because, when you're serving, it's joy. Serving brings you joy. You know, I don't know what your what's in your heart? I mean, maybe you like to be around little kids. Maybe you want to be around teens. Maybe you like to be around people. Maybe you're a people person. Me in that coffee shop or that bookstore. That changes people's lives. When you walk in that door and you come out and you go in there and it's like, and someone's in there and they're all happy. And we have people who are come from our church and they come in here and it makes a difference. Or maybe you're called to go out into the streets. Maybe you're supposed to be out there evangelizing. You know, maybe you're supposed to do it right at your work. But if you're not a doer of the word and you're only a hearer and you go to work and people see you doing these things that they know you shouldn't be doing because you're not really applying what you're learning, you know what? They're going to call you a hypocrite. And you actually draw people away from Jesus instead of drawing them closer to him. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want, you're working for the enemy. We need to be a doer of the word. We've got to be doers. Maybe some of you think, well, okay, I'll be the doer of the word. Well, okay, so we're going to be the doer of the word. When you are a doer of the word, you apply it. Man, do what you got to do to apply it. I use my imagination a lot. I mean, when I actually come and was telling you, goodness and mercy are falling after me, I said, oh my goodness, it's chasing after me. I started really picturing it. It's coming. It's coming right behind me. It's coming. I start picturing it. You know, you're like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes again. You know, oh, goodness and mercy. You know, you know all these words. Oh, you know, I start doing that because it helps me. Do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Do what you got to do to make the word real in life. Because, see, it's so hard because the physical, you can see everything. And it's really, you know, it gets to you. Oh, look over there. Look at this. Oh, hear that. Oh, you got to know. And trust in the unseen. God is working. If he said goodness and mercy is falling after me, I believe it. It's right there. It is. It's right there. I know it is. Because I'm trusting in the unseen. That's what you know where you come from. You come from heaven. Your father's in heaven. And you know where you're going. I love there's a song that says that. I love it because it builds me up. Because we forget, because we're living in this world, we forget who we are and where we're going. We forget that our Father is in heaven. We forget. We need to remember. We need to remember. Alrighty. And I always would tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I thought it would be so awesome if we would just, if I could be like Abraham's family in the Bible. I said, I bet it was pretty cool. I bet they were all like, oh, Dad, guess what God told me today? Or, Mom, you know what the Lord told me today? I said, that would be so cool. Oh, I saw this in a vision. Oh, you know, telling them stuff, you know. I said, that would be really cool. And it is cool because you know what? You can have it today. You can have it today with your family because God is all about family. When they were in that room eating, see, when they had that Passover lamb, they killed it and they put the blood over the door. They had to take the lamb afterwards and cook it and roast it. And then they all was set inside the room and they had to feed on it all together. All together, the family. And they couldn't take any of the lamb out. They had to eat it right in the room with the family. This is how it is. We come here to get the word, but see, we also need to be feeding on Jesus with our families. Don't come to church on Saturday or Sunday or whenever and sit in the word, then go home and live a total different life. Your kids are going to see that, and they're not going to want nothing to do with your Jesus. You know what? Your nieces and nephews are not going to want nothing to do with that either. They see you being totally different. We need to be living it. So when we're doing it, we're actually living it. Because God cares about our kids. I got a story to tell you, because this is how real it can be. And God is so beautiful, and he's so awesome. He loves us so much. I cannot tell you how much he loves you. But you know, it really sucks us, because sometimes we grow up in these families, and our fathers or mothers aren't being godly parents. So then we have to work through, how does God really love us? And it's a fight, because some of us, maybe our parents are mean. And they would whip us. So you think every time you do something wrong, God's going to come over with this big old paddle and go, get away from me, kid. How could you be? You know, or maybe your dad didn't want to be around you. Or your mom didn't want to be around you. And then the rejection, you know. God really couldn't love me. That's how you feel. God's not like that at all. He's a loving, kind father. And he wants to do crazy things just to show you that he loves you. I'll tell you this story. And this pertains to the family thing, how we need to be living with our kids. You know, because I was at home, we read the stories, read the Bible with the girls at night, we pray together as a family, and then we also, you know, we talk about the Lord. It's like he's right there with us. He's right there with us anyway. Might as well talk about it. But anyways, at home, at my house, we all spend time with Jesus, right? And so we'll spend time with the Lord, and it's all different times. Girls come home after school and do it because they kind of early getting up, and they got to get some sleep, late going to bed. But anyways, they come home, and we say, we don't care how they spend time with Jesus. We just want them to go be with them. So we send them up in their rooms, or they can go outside or wherever they want to go, and we just say, just talk to them like a normal person. That's all we want, you know? And you probably should read, because that's how he'll speak to you, through his word. That's all we say. Well, one of the girls was outside spending time with the Lord. Well, let me go back. I had to go to a communion, and I was at this communion, and the wind was blowing, and they had bubbles there, and I had the little bubble maker thing up in the air, the little thing that blows the bubbles, and the wind was blowing through it, and this field behind them was all full of bubbles, because there was like quite a few of us, bunch of little kids doing it. My kids weren't there, but there were some other little kids there, and they were all blowing these bubbles. And all of a sudden, the wind died down. I was like, oh, Lord, just blow me a kiss. And the wind picked up, and it started blowing them through. And it was beautiful, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, these little kids around me, they go, thank you, Jesus, you know, because I was living it, all right? Anyways, we went home, and I think a day or two passed, and girls come home from school, went out and spent time with Jesus. Well, one of them come in, and they said, all smiles. I was like, what's going on with you? I got to tell you something, Mom. I was like, well, what is it? Jesus told me that those kisses that he blew at that communion were just for you. See? He's that real. He's that real. And I'll be honest with you. Even yesterday, when I'm by myself with the Lord, I just go, I love you so much, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I'll go, I'll blow kisses up to him. And I'll go, Holy Spirit, just take that kiss right up to him. I know it got there. Do you know how I know? Because I'm trusting in the unseen. I'm trusting in it. I'm just crazy enough to do it. We've got to be crazy. We've got to be crazy like that. Trust in the unseen. Do what the word says. We're going to trust in the unseen. Our God is an awesome God. He's miraculous. He's an awesome God. He's always showing different things. I don't know how many times that I've been outside and you look up and you just feel like, oh, Lord, I just love you. And you look over and there's a big old cross in the sky. He's just saying, I'm over here. Don't blow that off as jet marks. That's him over going, I'm over here. I'm watching you. You're the apple of my eye. I see you. I want to take care of you. My hand's up on you. He ain't speaking that just to me. He's speaking to all of you guys. He's saying that to you. And when you leave today, goodness and mercy is going to be chasing after you. I can't wait to see it. You guys all be out the door and all this goodness and mercy be like, whew. You got to trust that it's there. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and do our last song. All right? And we'll come back up here and... Well, it says... We live by faith and not by sight. You are the way, the truth, and life. We live by faith and not by sight. Okay, so we're going to go out. We're going to live by faith and not by sight. We're going to apply the blood to our lives. Yep. We're going to trust in the unseen and not the things that are going around us. Because I'll tell you right now it's cloudy outside. There's confusion all around us. But the Lord is saying, I know it's cloudy. You guys walk it out. Be doers of the word. This is your test. This is a test. And to be devoted to me like Mary was. Lay it down for me. at my feet. I love you, he says. And goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So go on and get out of here.